Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Today is Juneteenth. The 19th of June is celebrated as a holiday by African Americans to commemorate how word spread that slavery had been abolished. There's more behind that story, and we'll hear it in a moment. First, it's important to acknowledge that Juneteenth holds special significance this year as civil uprisings have erupted across the world. We want to recognize the voices of hundreds of thousands of protesters calling out the injustice of the killings of unarmed African American men and women. We hear you. The wave of resistance is a sober reminder that the battle for freedom is still being fought. Now, let's revisit a conversation with National Park Ranger and historian Anokwale Anansi Sempho. She's a tour guide at the Hampton National Historic Site in Towson and president of the Griot Circle of Maryland. When we spoke last year, she explained a common misperception about Juneteenth.
People over the years, and just with anything, with history, it actually means his story, things have gotten twisted along the lines. So that Emancipation Proclamation really did not free anyone. It was really a political tool that President Lincoln issued. But even Frederick Douglass said it was enough. But somewhere along the line, things got twisted. So
It didn't free anyone because it applied only to the states that were in rebellion.
That's correct. And states like here, Maryland, where we were split down the middle, 50-50, far as people being for slavery and against slavery, even where I work at Hampton National Historic Site, the Ridgelys, who were an extremely wealthy family. They didn't even represent 1% of the population. The owner at that time would have been John Ridgely. So in public, he professed to be a Union man, but in private, he was actually a Southern sympathizer. So somebody like him who was a slaveholder, that proclamation actually was more advantageous for him because he wasn't in rebellion, at least not publicly, to the Union. So he could maintain all the enslaved people that he wanted to. So the Emancipation Proclamation just actually just pertained to those who were in rebellion of the Union. So slaveholders.
So that's where things stood during the last years of the Civil War.
Yes.
Okay. But then how do we get to Juneteenth? How do we get to June 19th, 1865?
Okay, so April 1865 was when the Civil War ended, and the people in Galveston, Texas, they did not hear about that the war ended and now slavery has been abolished. So Major General Gordon Granger, I believe was his last name, at the time came in and told these people who were in bondage in Galveston, Texas, well, you know what? Well, slavery ended a couple months ago. So that's when they found out that they were freed. But even then, people, because of segregation and racism, what have you, even still, history tells us that people still were in bondage because slaveholders still did not even want to relent that free labor, that forced labor. So those who could be freed and left, they did. But you still had people still in bondage. I've read one account where one woman said that 6 years afterwards of this proclamation or abolishment of slavery, she was still in that same plantation and her mistress was still whipping her just like she was
six years later. Did she eventually leave?
Yes. But it wasn't because she did not, and people like her did not want to leave. They really didn't have anywhere to go because you're talking about people who didn't own anything, and you're somewhere far south like Texas. I mean, it's kind of hard to get up to the north or places where you can have a better life.
So it was that Texas moment that became the template to celebrate the end of slavery.
Yes.
In all the states.
Yes. And even prior to the end of the Civil War in 1865, many of the slaveholders saw the handwriting on the wall, and there was a mass exodus. Historians actually estimate 500,000 enslaved people moved from other southern states to Texas because the slaveholders knew that the word would get down there slowly, so they were able to maintain their enslaved that way. This is another little known history.
I didn't know that at all. How is Juneteenth celebrated now?
Well, it's a big deal, if you will, in Texas, because that is their holiday. But in the interest of the African experience in America, more and more people in the diaspora in America, African diaspora that is, have taken up the mantle and want to celebrate this emancipation of all people, but especially those in Texas. But we look at it as our holiday because that's when everybody was freed. Like here in Maryland, emancipation came November 1st, 1864. And New Jersey, I believe, was 1862. So it varied where you were in the country.
That's National Park Ranger Anokwale Anansisemfo here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about Juneteenth, a day to commemorate the abolition of slavery in the U.S. Give us some background on the Hampton Historic Site. Where is it? What happened there?
Actually, Hampton National Historic Site once belonged to the Ridgely family. And what is so incredible about this site is that just about everything you see there is original, and it's more than 200 years old. At one point, it was not only one of the largest slave plantations in Maryland, but it was one of the largest in the United States, because at its zenith, it comprised of 25,000 acres. But the Ridgelys were—
And this is north of Baltimore.
Right. Actually, you can walk from Towson Mall to there. It's only a mile and a half, and people don't know that we're there. We were voted twice the best-kept secret in Maryland. And it's free, so I implore your listeners to come visit us. And we're open Thursday through Sunday, and you'll get to walk the grounds of people who are in bondage. And it's not just about the African experience. This family also had 300 European indentured servants between the years 1750 and 1800 from England, Ireland, and Germany. And they treat those Europeans the same way they treat the Africans. They're being whipped, same lousy clothes, same crappy food, all that. So this is American history.
And this was essentially a farm? What was grown there?
Well, it was a plantation. So actually, the mansion, when you come, the site was actually the Ridgely summer home. So the mansion was finished in 1790, and we're pretty sure, because we haven't found anything to the contrary to the date, that was the largest private home in the United States when it was finished, and it was their summer home.
You are involved in a wide range of projects. You recently started a group to mentor African-American girls called Black Diamonds Girls Club. Tell us about that.
Yes, Black Diamonds Girls Club, rare, beautiful, and indestructible. It was just placed on my spirit in February that our young ladies, they're actually not growing up to be young ladies any longer. And the girls have gotten to the point where they're behaving as badly as the boys, sometimes even worse. So we're just going to go to old school etiquette, teaching young ladies how to become phenomenal women and helping to restore that divine feminine energy that has been lost in this world. So these girls would be catalysts for that restoration of divine feminine energy. We're going to deal with STEM, take them on trips around. There's so much history right here in culture. So once a month we'll be doing that. We'll have guests speaking. I happen to be a vegetarian / vegan. I'm not trying to make everybody a vegetarian, but everybody needs vegetables. So you can learn how to eat well, mindfulness, meditation. It just goes on.
What's your vision for what girls will get out of this experience?
That you have a friend. Because this is for everyone. Any girl can join. But we're targeting girls who are socially, economically disadvantaged. And this is a hard time to grow up in. It's different times, but it's hard. So I've had many women step up. I mean, they're really excited about mentoring these young ladies. And we just want them to know that there is someone there for you and just help you become that phenomenal woman.
It sounds wonderful. I wish you luck with it. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
National Park Ranger and historian Anokwale Anansisemfo leads tours at the Hampton National Historic Site in Towson. The buildings and facilities at Hampton are closed due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but the grounds are open to visitors, both pedestrians and in cars. More ways to commemorate Juneteenth. the No Boundaries Coalition is hosting a virtual panel discussion called Celebrating the Afro Future, today from 11 to 1 p.m. Baltimore Juneteenth Freedom Fest and March will take place today from 3 to 8 p.m. It begins at Pennsylvania and North Avenues and ends in Druid Hill Park. The event includes Black-owned food trucks and poets, entertainers, and speakers. The Hosanna School Museum will host a virtual celebration commemorating 400 years of perseverance through history and culture. It begins this evening with a discussion of the film Just Mercy from 5 to 6 p.m., then an artist showcase from 6 to 7 p.m. And tomorrow, Saturday, June 20th, the Great Mask Giveaway and Sale happens in person from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The outdoors-only event will be held at the Hosanna School Museum in Darlington, Maryland. The rain date is next Saturday, June 27th. We have more information for all these events and others at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Short break now, and then a Stoop story. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay with us on the record.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks!